You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, and the returning Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Week 9 was an interesting one. I won't say it was wild, I won't say it was crazy, but it was interesting. We seemingly had more stars thrown out or not playing games than score touchdowns on the day. It was a fun day to watch football, as it always is. And, of course, a wrap-up tonight with the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, you know what I'm saying? Doing well. Glad that everything is going well. I would like to give a shout-out to my sister, Tamara Walker, for completing the New York City Marathon yesterday.
I feel like I reminded you of that.
Yeah. Well, no, cool. I remembered. I was waiting. And then as far as yesterday in football, it was, we started with Leonard Fournette and Zach Ertz. And next week we'll have to deal more than likely with Mike Evans and Brandon LaFell being suspended because of their actions.
A.J. Green, Brandon LaFell.
A.J. Green and Mike Evans being suspended because of their actions on the field. So going to be interesting. We get through bye week hell, 2 weeks of bye week hell, and now we have to miss two of our star wide receivers.
Well, you know, next week Kareem Hunt's going to probably get suspended at like 11 o'clock, you know, the way things are going.
Don't say nothing to me, Scott.
Kareem has a bye next week, yeah. So he won't get suspended.
Don't say nothing to me, Scott.
I'll say this about week 9.
What are you
crying about? Fisticuffs were flying.
Yes.
Legitimately, they were flying. Scott Angle, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you guys, and shout out to my son, Sean Angle, for finishing top 8 in the DraftKings NASCAR tournament.
Nice.
There you go.
Over the weekend, as far as football goes, yeah, just a wild and woolly day.
There you go. Yeah. Matt, it's Wall Street. He is back from the Arizona Fall League and a little baseball scouting there. I'm sure he'll give a shout-out to his wife for her birthday.
Yes, happy birthday yesterday. She celebrated. We really didn't do much, but it was fun.
You ordered this nice Joe's Pizza.
Yeah, we did.
And a
good house salad there, too.
There you go.
Better job than Papa John's Joe's Pizza.
No, Papa John's isn't pizza.
But Joe's is good. I guess I'm giving shout-outs. Give a shout-out to my sister who went to Beer Fest and drank a lot of beer this weekend.
Nice. Congratulations. Now, that's an accomplishment.
So there you go when it comes to the shout-outs.
I actually walked almost 3 miles this weekend.
To do what?
Just to get a walk. Just to get some exercise.
I walk 3 miles every day going.
Let's get some exercise, Scott.
I'm sorry.
Was you following Russell Wilson somewhere?
Hey, that's a good thing, Scotty. You keep that exercising.
You keep that exercising.
It's a good thing.
My doctor told me I got it.
You got it. Absolutely. Now.
He needs to tell you to stop fooling with Eddie Lacy, too.
Tell you to stop fooling with O.J. Howard. Yeah, I'm also going to do this for exercise. Use him as a bat.
That'll make that right arm strong, Scotty.
Probably strong enough, though.
You know what?
As it was coming out,
I knew you can get away with that. This wasn't going well. Yeah. All right. We're going to take that break, which we desperately need. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the debacle in the Meadowlands yesterday off the New York Giants that has Corey brimming from ear to ear and me begging to find out why the coach of the New York Giants hasn't been fired yet. We'll take a break. We'll talk about the Giants and the Rams when we return.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
You guys know that Justin and Selena are supposedly back together?
Yeah, I heard that.
You know that?
This is big news in the Sussman world, huh?
That's big news in the real world, to be honest with you, Matt. That's big news in the real world. Wow. Tom Burns, how do you feel about that, man? I know you've been keeping up to date there?
I'm not really a big Justin. I like Justin Bieber's songs, but I don't really care for what he does in his personal life. Well, he's kind of a nut job.
Don Burns likes Justin Bieber.
I do.
Songs.
Oh,
yeah, he loves Justin Bieber.
I didn't know that.
I'm
he's all like thugged out
that.
In the morning, hardcore, the Grim Reaper act. You know,
he makes some good music. He does. I will not lie about that.
All right, let's talk about the New York Giants here and Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, let's do that.
it was a decimation by the Rams over the Giants. It was an embarrassing performance, one of the more embarrassing losses as a Giants fan I've seen in quite some time. The Rams put about 50 spot on them.
One of the more fruitful New York Giants losses that I've ever seen.
I didn't think that's what you were going to say.
One of my favorite moments of the season happened yesterday.
the Rams just absolutely walloped this team that was under that coming out of a bye, was underprepared,
yeah.
Embarrassed. They didn't play hard. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't care. This is a team that quit.
They quit yesterday. The New York Giants quit, which and they should continue to quit, because that's kind of basically what they have become, a group of 53 quitters. So I was happy to see that. Now, when you look at the New York Giants office outside of Evan Engram, it's kind of nothing to see there. So
I think Shepard's still a thing.
I don't know if there's 53 quitters there. Like, I think Eli's trying. I think, you know, Evan Engram stinks, but he's trying. You know, Shepard played well, but defensively, it's like I was watching that Robert Woods touchdown again, and it was just pathetic. It's like Eli Apple
third
was like
and
standing
33.
There. Eli Apple's just standing there at the end of it.
I love the fact that happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think after that performance, you just fire the coach. You put somebody in for the rest of the season.
You should do.
Yeah, the GM should be on his way out as well. And look, this is probably the best thing that could happen to the Giants. They need a franchise quarterback. And currently, they're facing the Niners at San Francisco.
It's a big game.
And San Francisco's favored. That's crazy.
It's a big game, man. If San Francisco could win, the Giants would be in a nice spot for that number 2 overall pick. Things are going well for the Giants.
And you still think it's a quarterback?
I think it's crazy now.
I think it has to be. When you're in that top 3, you take your quarterback. You have to. You have to take Sam Darnold.
Eli will play somewhere else next year.
No, he'll play a quarterback in the New York Giants, and Sam Darnold will take over after that.
He's not going to be happy about that.
I don't know if that's the NFL landscape anymore, because I think you want the rookie to play right away unless he's not good enough to sit.
I don't know about that. Patrick Mahomes isn't playing right away.
Yeah, because I don't think he's good enough yet. He's like too raw.
Eli Manning is insignificant to me at this point.
Yeah. I agree.
So many rookie quarterbacks come in the NFL now and they start right away.
You don't just start right away with this offensive line that is just disgusting. You can't do that. You get him killed. You're going to get your rookie quarterback killed.
They got to look to the future, though.
I think you draft the quarterback, and then you load up on linemen.
It's going to suck when Eli gets benched before, and that's going to how he doesn't break the record. He's now tied with Peyton Manning, I think.
Did he set the most sort of record yesterday for, like, passing yards?
Yeah, he threw it for over 50,000 yards here in this game. I'm sorry, overall in his career, set it in his game against the Rams. All right, for the Giants, we'll do this quickly. Evan Engram had 4 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. He is one thing that they hit on this year. Evan Engram has been wonderful for the Giants, wonderful for fantasy owners as well. I still like Sterling Shepard. He had 5 for 70. That's kind of it from New York. Orleans Darkwood had 16 for 71. Wayne Gallman, 9 for 41. Paul Perkins was healthy. It did not play in this one. For the Los Angeles Rams, no matter who you had, it was a nice game. That's not Cooper Kupp, who's disappointing. But for the most part, it was very, very nice for the Los Angeles Rams yesterday. Robert Woods scored a 52-yard touchdown on 3rd and 33.
Play of the year candidate.
I don't even think it was the play of the day, to be perfectly honest with you. I'll get to that in a moment. And I'm sure you know it very, very well, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
but Robert Woods made a really nice play. He's been really consistent going forward. I picked up Robert Woods in the league. And I'll tell you this, Robert Woods has been, over the last few games, like we pointed this out to you before the Rams bye, but he's been really, really good. Let me read you the stats over his last 4 games. 5 for 66, 5 for 70, 5 for 59, 4 for 70, and 2 touchdowns. That is a very consistent flex option or wide receiver 3, Scott.
How many touches does he have on the year?
Just those 2 he caught last week.
That's the one thing, but you know, you're going to get some floor there, you know. You got guys coming out this year like Richardson and Woods and something like that. They usually give you like a decent floor, and there's always the possibility for a touchdown. Sammy Watkins got you 13 points on one play, but the fact that he caught one pass can't give me any confidence in him going forward. No,
yeah, the thing with Sammy Watkins is he had two targets yesterday. He's had five targets or more in only three games. It's mostly been two targets or four targets. You know, maybe that's him not getting open, but you know, if you're going to have a number one wide receiver, you have to throw contested balls.
I think maybe it's not part of him getting over that the contested balls thing that you're talking about. It's just that Jared Goff. He's like a Matt Ryan. He doesn't want to throw the jump ball. He wants to hit the open guy.
Yeah, the thing about the Watkins thing is this team scored 51 points yesterday. He had two targets, one reception. Don't get me wrong, that one reception was a beautiful 67-yard touchdown. But the bottom line of the matter is this guy cannot be trusted in your starting lineup. This team is scoring the way they're scoring, and this guy is getting one reception. That's disgusting.
I don't think he's rosterable.
This offense is more they'll go to Gurley on the short pass. They'll drop it off to him, the Robert Woods, the Cooper Kupps. That's what this offense is more. Though I do think if they want to be a real threat in the playoffs, they do need to expand the deep ball at times.
Yeah, I think so too. That ultimately, this Rams team, it's very fun, but they're gonna have to expand that deep ball. They did it once against the Giants, as you saw, with Sammy Watkins at what 2 for 67? I think it was ultimately. He has to be better, or the Rams have to get him more involved. You like seeing that play. This is a true story. My dad, I was on the phone with my dad when that play happened. And
which one?
The 67-yard touchdown. It was 1 for 67 for Sammy Watkins. I was on the phone with my dad, and he literally goes to me, "Who is that caught that pass?" And he plays fantasy football. He's got his three teams. He's got his three leagues. And he doesn't even remember Sammy Watkins on this team.
Excellent matchup coming up. Home versus Houston. So,
yeah. So there you go.
I'm going to roll him out to get in a flex if I need that spot. You know, if I need to play somebody.
You'll do it one more time. The theory is the Giants tight ends against the Giants works again. Tyler Higbee gets the touchdown, only catch of the day, one catch, 8 yards, and a touchdown. Gerald Everett only had one catch, but it was a 44-yard catch.
Beautiful catch down the sideline.
It was.
Yeah.
Higbee got you the touchdown you needed, Scott.
Yeah, it was his only catch, but, you know, I actually had to stream him in two leagues, and I was in one first-come, first-serve league where somebody beat me to the waiver wire for Burton, so I got Higbee.
First-come, first-serve.
They do have two nice tight ends in Higbee.
They do.
And Everett. They really do.
I expect better from you, Scott, than playing in first-come, first-serve.
That's Scott's fishbowl. You're in it, too.
This team has too many weapons.
It's different. That's a draft.
I hate to say it, but it's true.
It's a draft, though.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You talk about the play of the day.
The Kiss League is first come, first serve.
My fist is going to be first come, first serve.
Oh, wait a minute. You're the commissioner of the Kiss League.
Yes, I am.
Is the Kiss League first come, first serve?
No. It's not.
All right.
The first waiver run's not first come, first serve. After the first waiver run.
In the Kiss League yesterday morning, you was able to go pick up Chris Ivory. As somebody who is a legend in this industry, Scott, a first come, first serve league, Scott, I think is an embarrassment. I think you should know better. When you are the commissioner of a league that Scott Engel is the running, you should not allow first come, first serve waivers. I find that to be an embarrassment.
I think all of that is fair except the embarrassment part. Maybe it's something I'll consider for next year. It's a good idea. But you know what, though? The league is very competitive, and I enjoy playing with the people, unlike you.
I play with the 11 cats all the time.
Yeah, but you don't play with like regular sort of people play it recreationally. That's beneath you.
No, I'm not saying that's beneath me. You know what I'm saying?
Listeners invite me to leagues all the time. I say yes.
I'm talking about the Kiss League, the league where you are the commissioner, has first come, first serve waivers.
Yeah.
I think that's amateurish.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's amateurish.
I think recommending O.J. Howard is amateurish too. So.
I think picking up Eddie Lacy yesterday morning was amateurish.
Oh, so somebody's like, you have a mole inside my league. Yeah. Why are you obsessing about me?
I'm not obsessing. If people come to me with information, Scott, you know what I'm saying?
You denied it all morning and you actually picked up Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, I did.
You lied all morning.
I didn't start him. He asked me if I started him.
That is true. He did.
But you know, Corey's very nosy when it comes to me.
If Leonard Fournette didn't get hurt, Eddie Lacy would have been in Scott's lineup.
I don't.
If Leonard Fournette was not suspended, Eddie Lacy would have been in your lineup.
No, he wouldn't have. No, he wasn't.
Right,
Emmanuel Sanders
asking.
Was in the lineup.
Right, I'm just
if you're
going
to spy on me and
I'm
be nosy
not spying on you,
and
Scott,
not mind your
if
own
the
business,
people come to me with information
if you're
going to
spy on me,
first come, first
get it
serve,
right.
Lead.
Why are you obsessing about me? Is it because I always beat you? What is this?
That was enjoyable.
That was great. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what was really the play of the day. That was actually in Dallas. You know, Dallas won, but not the play of the day. We'll talk about it next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Today, yesterday, happened in a game that the Chiefs lost. The Dallas won 28-17, improved to 5-3 on the year. And what may be Ezekiel Elliott's final game before his suspension. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. Might have been the last time you had to put Ezekiel Elliott in your lineup this season. Might have been yesterday.
But maybe not. We'll find out maybe this week. Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm not spending a whole bunch of time on that.
I'm done with it also. The play of the day was Tyreek Hill, who makes this explosive catch. And we've seen this so many times before. You dump it off like 10, 15 yards ahead. And you ladder. You run really far. The defense converges on you. You could try laddering it before the half at the end of the game. And it goes nowhere. Tyreek Hill waited for his blocks, made a cut or two, and walked into the end zone. It was an unbelievable play. Problem was, Andy Reid just didn't go back to him after that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, too, on that play, I forget the wide receiver it was. He took
DeMarcus
out two,
Robinson.
Took out two Dallas Cowboy defenders on that play. That was really impressive.
That was an excellent play call. Andy Reid, that crew, whoever they drew that play up, that was excellent play call. That's the greatness of what they can do. But you're starting to see a less aggressive Alex Smith again.
You are indeed.
Patting the football, looking downfield, not letting it fly down the field. When he does go downfield, he holds it a second too long. He's starting to get to be apprehensive Alex Smith once again. We're starting to see that. D.O., that team is 1-3 in the last four games.
The schedule got tougher for them, too.
He did.
Do you think we can see Pat Mahomes this year?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think there was that play in the first half where Hill was wide open.
He missed it.
And he lost the ball. He like kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, who to blame there, I don't know. It looked like he overshot him, but he kind of...
If you're saying the schedule gets tougher, then obviously, you know, the Chiefs aren't as good as we thought they were because, okay, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, but if you're really that Super Bowl contender that people were talking about a few weeks ago, then you beat these better teams.
Well, don't say that either, Scotty, because the first two games of the season, they went in New England and won on opening night, which is a real win, and at home against Philly, who's the only loss is the KC. So they beat two really good teams there.
So how did the schedule toughen up there?
Because, you know, then it lightened a little bit. You faced the Chargers, you faced the Redskins at home, you went into Houston, and then Steelers, Raiders in that Thursday night classic.
That's not tough.
Steelers are very tough.
Yeah, the Raiders are a division matchup.
I'm never surprised with a division matchup.
Well, the Raiders, though, you're calling them a tough team. They're a game under 500.
They're a tough team. They're a division matchup.
Yeah, but not as tough as New England or Philly. I don't understand the scheduling thing toughen up when they beat New England and
Philly. Those are the first two games. Then you had a little easier little stretch. Then Pittsburgh, Oakland, the Broncos, they won another division game.
The Broncos are not looking good at all.
They beat them. They did lose
two games on the road the last two. And after this bye, that's a nice schedule for
the Chiefs. Real easy.
We were going to talk about Giants, Bills,
Jets. Then he faced the Raiders again. Chargers, Dolphins.
They're still one of the best teams in the AFC. I think they still are going to go to the Super Bowl. Huh?
They still are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Oakland and the Chargers home.
Sure.
I think it's a Pittsburgh, New England AFC Championship game.
Again.
So New England this time Pittsburgh can't beat New England.
Pittsburgh can't beat New England.
I think they will this time.
I actually agree, Scotty. I also think it'll be Pittsburgh, New England, AFC.
And maybe New Orleans, Philly, the other conference.
I don't agree with that. That's not what you told me on Friday either. By the way,
just remember the bet. I don't know what the spread's going to be coming out of this bye for Kansas City at the Giants. But Andy Reid is like,
they're going to beat them up.
A thousand and one off the bye, I think.
The spread cannot be high enough in this game. So for Kansas City yesterday, it was Travis Kelce led the team receiving 7 for 73 and a touchdown. A fantastic touchdown celebration, by the way.
The potato sackers.
It was all right.
You like potato sackers?
I like some of the ones I've seen prior to this week.
Yeah. I love potato sack.
I like Buffalo's Zay Jones, the Star Wars one on Thursday night. I thought that was terrific. And probably the best one is Le'Veon Bell and Juju Smith-Schuster.
What was it, hide and seek?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was fun,
you
know,
too. Duck, Duck, Goose?
Duck, Duck, Goose was
amazing.
That was
pretty good. Yeah, that was good.
I don't even say the sack one. It was funny. Well,
Travis Kelce, the last 2 weeks, 26.3, 20.3. He's getting it done.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt. Let's talk about him for a moment, guys. 9 for 37 on the ground. 4 for 24 in the air.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, our darling, come back on Earth here, Corey.
He might be getting, well, first of all,
he's tired, right?
One player making a difference, Sean Lee is one player that can make a difference on the defense. So let's kill that. Now, with that being said, this young man may be starting to hit a rookie wall.
It's possible.
You've been only 9 carries. You got against.
That's Andy Reid right there.
Yeah,
that's Andy Reid right there.
That's not sticking to, in my opinion. Look, they got.
He's been doing it for years, though, man. Yeah. Andy Reid. No, it was years. We were complaining about him not giving Brian Westbrook the ball.
Well, look, they got the bye coming up. So, I mean, if anything, if he is hitting that rookie wall, perfect time for the bye. Great schedule ahead. So if you can buy,
I'm about to say, if an owner is panicky on Hunt, I would buy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I don't know if he's hitting a wall necessarily, because Dallas did a good job of like clogging up his running lanes yesterday, and then it just seems like Reed went away from him. You know, right now, if like he hasn't scored a touchdown what in like 6 games now or something like that. So, you know, if still though, if I could buy on him now, if somebody's panicky, I'm swooping right in and doing it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, Scotty. Yeah. I'm with you there. On the other side, let's talk about Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott, 27 carries, 93 yards rushing, and a touchdown. You know, came to expect that from Ezekiel Elliott.
That's
nice
what
job.
You're going
to
do. That's mm-hmm. how that's Dallas Cowboy football. Control the clock, pound the rock, let Dak make some big plays.
Absolutely. Dak Prescott also did his thing, 3 for 250 yards, 2 touchdowns in the air, 1 touchdown on the ground, which is unnecessary. He could have threw that ball, but he decided to run it in.
He ran in for a touchdown, and Dak Prescott gives you 2 throwing and 1 rushing, is giving you like 3 touchdowns a week.
I'd say he's the number 2 overall quarterback in fantasy football right now. Dak Prescott, I think he's got 3 touchdowns in like 5 of 8 games.
Who'd you rather have than Tom Brady?
Wilson.
You'd rather Russell Wilson? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm still going to keep Brady number 1, but probably Wilson's 2.
Dak 3.
Dak Wentz
would
be like 3, 4.
I'm about to say, we missing somebody. But
yeah, somebody, but I'm just top of my head.
We're missing Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, well, he would, but... Yeah.
And you know what, sometimes I thought you were first going to say, it's like, we think we're missing Drew Brees, but we're not there anymore.
No, Drew Brees is barely a top 12 quarterback.
He's a game manager. I'm not saying he's a game manager.
I wouldn't say he's a game manager, but he's no longer an explosive fantasy quarterback.
Just doesn't need to be.
Doesn't need to be right now, and that's better for the team.
Definitely, it definitely is.
I mean,
game manager just has not to make mistakes.
For Dallas, Dez Bryant had 6 for 73. Left this game with an ankle injury. It's been deemed not serious, so we think he'll be good to go for the
weekend. It's always not serious now, and then until it becomes serious, like later
especially
on
with,
in the
especially
week.
With Dez. Yeah. Especially with Dez.
He hasn't missed a game yet this season.
He has not.
So.
That's why he's due. That's all I'm saying. That's why he's due.
Well, Terrence Williams had a hell of
a game. 9 for 141 for Terrence Williams. Where the hell did that come from, Corey?
No, that came out of nowhere, but they definitely got him involved and started to get him going, so... I wouldn't be running out to the waiver wire to pick up Terrence Williams. I wouldn't do that at all.
Huh? Yeah. He hurt his knee yesterday.
Yeah, also he got a little bit banged up yesterday. But every now and then, Terrence Williams is a better football player than he is a fantasy asset. He's better for the team than he is for your – he's better for the professional team than he is for your fantasy team.
I have a question. With, say, Elliott suspended, you know, for pretty much the rest of the regular season playoffs of the fantasy, is this an upgrade for Dak, the fact that he's going to have to throw more, maybe get some more rushing touchdowns, or losing that running game or that, you know, top stud running?
I think if anything, it's a slight upgrade. I don't really think anything changes all that much, to be honest with you. But I think it's a slight upgrade if Ezekiel Elliott does get suspended this week. Nothing really much more than that.
Yeah, but as far as Dez go, I disagree that he's due. I just think
he's
that's more of a football, baseball thing than a football thing.
I'm saying he's due to get hurt.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying he's due to do anything.
I don't think he's due to get hurt. You know, it's he's been able to stay healthy since the offseason. But with Dez, it's like you look at the numbers, it's kind of what we've seen, about 11, 12 yards a catch. You know, we're not seeing any explosive plays, but, you know, there's volume there. It's like almost like Dez and Michael Thomas, you know, except for the touchdowns, are like almost the same type of guy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the deal with the Dallas Cowboys and of course, with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs going that bye coming up. So if you can buy Kareem Hunt, you do it. Dallas continues on, and a date with Philly is coming up, which should be very, very exciting, Corey.
Looking forward to that.
I know that you are. A couple of games more to chat about here this morning, including Tennessee and Baltimore, where the Titans defeated Baltimore 23-20. Mariota throws for two touchdowns and one interception. Only 218 yards on the ground. DeMarco Murray coming out of the bye still didn't seem healthy.
Well, here's what happened with Murray. I watched his first run and like, wow, you know, he does look healthy. And then he hurt his knee.
9 carries, 19 yards on the day for DeMarco Murray. Contributed 2 for 22 in the passing game. Derrick Henry, he only had 8 for 26 himself. He scored the touchdown though.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a Murray owner, I own him in like one or two spots, and I was kind of disappointed. I was thinking that he, you know, off that bye was what you wanted. You get him fresh, but
he was, you know, the first run I saw the old juke, you know, the old burst, and I said, oh, Murray's gonna have a good day, and then shortly thereafter he got injured again.
The one thing I took away from this game was Buck Allen is not dead.
Buck Allen is not dead yet.
Until Woodhead comes back.
13 carries for 43 yards on the day for Alex Collins. Buck Allen had 7 for 21, but in the passing game, this is the Buck that we were waiting for to come back. 7 catches, 44 yards, and touchdown. Jeremy Maclin had 8 for 98. Ben Watson had 7 for 41. On the day, Joe Flacco threw the ball 52 times, completing 34 passes. 34 passes! Still under 300 yards passing, though.
This was Macklin's best yardage day since 2015.
Yeah,
he played a good game.
Yeah, nice game. Jerry
Macklin. So
who'd you start him over?
Huh?
Who'd you start Jerry Maclin over?
No, I think I had a bye week situation which forced me to put him in the lineup.
Gotcha. 8 for 98, as I mentioned, for Jerry Maclin. It was Mike Wallace, though, who had 4 for 19, but came down with the touchdown. We'll take a break here. When we come back on the Roto Experts presented by DX Racer, we'll talk about the drop of the season with Atlanta. Stick around. Roto Experts continues on right after this.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source. We'll be right back.
about this. I know a lot about this. Yeah. RotoExperts.com/DKMS. That's, I like the new mic.
Scotty gave
it. This is great. RotoExperts.com/DKMS. That's the website to go to learn more about becoming a bone marrow donor. We're trying to end blood cancer. And the way to do that is to head to RotoExperts.com/DKMS to do just that. You find out if you could be a match. All you got to do is swab your cheeks. DKMS does the rest. They'll find you a match. And ultimately, hopefully, you can save somebody's life. And you can also win a trip to the Super Bowl. How do you do that? You go to the bottom of the page, you click a link, you play a DFS contest each and every week through week 16. If you win any of those weeks, you qualify for our week 17 matchup with the winner of the week 17 contest winning two tickets to the Super Bowl in Minnesota. That's one way to go to the big game. The other way, you play the big game trivia challenge sponsored by DKMS. We do that each and every day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got to listen to the network to find out the schedule. When you're going to play, make sure you keep listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network to find out when you can win next. The Big Game Trivia Challenge, sponsored by DKMS. Before we get into Atlanta and Carolina, I want to talk to you at 844-843-6879 and talk to Peter in New York. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Peter. How you doing?
Good. Can't complain. Just got off of work. Just looking at my roster.
Yep.
Hopefully I can make the playoffs. Yeah, so I made two moves last week. I just wanted to get y'all take on it.
Sure.
The first move was I traded Julio and Carlos Hyde for McCoy.
Julio?
This was on one.
I do not like that Julio trade, sir.
I don't think he's finished yet.
Yes.
Julio Jones and Carlos Hyde for LeSean McCoy and who else?
It was just for LeSean McCoy, straight up. I mean, those two, it was a two for one.
Yeah, Peter, that's it.
And then this was, hold on. So this was before the Watson injury. So then I traded also Fuller and Tevin Coleman for DeAndre Hopkins.
That's good.
Well, Hopkins still got all the targets yesterday.
Yeah, that's worked out fine.
That's the intriguing or the hopefulness.
Well, what's your question about the trades, though?
So you gave, but you
so.
Go ahead.
All right. So with my receivers now, I have Baldwin, Hopkins, and
Julio.
Julio's off the team.
No, not traded Julio, and then Demaryius Thomas, and then my running backs will be Mixon, McCoy, and unfortunately, Crowell.
he did overpay for the McCoy. I think I'm assuming you were nervous about Hyde rest of season, and you know that whole scenario, possibly Brader. But you know, if you traded Julio, you should be getting McCoy back.
Yeah.
How many teams are in your league, Peter?
It's a 12-team league.
Yeah, Scott won an invite.
Corey wouldn't accept one, though. Too much of a snob. But I think for a 12-team league, if what you're asking, are you okay going forward? I think your squad sounds very solid.
That RB2 with Joe Mixon is going to be trouble, though. You feel what I'm saying? That RB2 being Mixon is going to be trouble.
I was looking to pick up Rex Burkhead because I saw him on the waiver wire this week.
That'll help.
I was looking to pick him up. And there was somebody else. But I was looking to pick up Rex Burkhead.
That'll help.
If you can pick him up and you're not dropping somebody that's significant, I would do that.
There you go. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Let's get back into it here. Final game we haven't chatted about quite yet. That's Carolina and Atlanta. You actually like Carolina in. So they defeated Atlanta 20-17, but it seemed like the story of the game was Julio Jones and dropping the wide-open touchdown pass. He led the team with 6 catches, 118 yards. He should have finished the day with 7 catches for 148 yards and a touchdown, but there was no one within 10 yards of him. Caught the ball, dropped the ball, and literally Kurt Coleman went around and put his arm around him and basically gave him words of encouragement afterwards. That's how bad this was by Julio Jones.
Yeah. Fortunately, he still had a really good line for the day. You want it. And, you know, they're not going to throw him that many jump balls in the end zone. So, But look, at the end of the day, if you could look at the positive, the line was still pretty good. And, you know, he was in and out of the game like limping on the ankle. And you always worry about Julio Jones' health, too. So I think there's a lot of positives to be taken from the day, too.
It's still Julio. If one of his owners is down on him, he does have a mixed bag as far as the schedule is concerned. There's a couple of really nice matchups, a couple of tough matchups. But it's Julio Jones. It's the fact that they just need to keep throwing the ball to this guy.
12 targets for Julio yesterday, 11 carries for Freeman. So you got to. We want to see them running the football a little bit more in the long term. You think that they should be able to have more balance on offense. That was one of their strengths last year when they made their run towards the to the chip. So with that being said, I don't know. You got to feel good about it. Mohamed Sanu is still doing what he does, catching touchdown passes. I would be worried about Tevin Coleman. If I'm a Tevin Coleman player,
yes, I
would look to sell. Story. I would look to sell Tevin Coleman.
Corey, you're always talking about how much you like Nate Burleson, right, in his analysis.
Yeah, Nate Burleson.
On the NFL Network. I watched a very interesting piece with him where he talked about how, you know, how he's saluting Julio Jones because all these other wide receivers, like, it's natural for them to be divas and want to, like, campaign for the ball. But Julio hasn't done that whatsoever.
He should still see a minimum of 12 targets every week. I don't care.
I agree.
There is no excuse for that.
Yeah, but he's not openly campaigning for the ball, I think.
It's not his style.
I think you got to respect that.
I have to ask this. You made the comment a moment ago, Corey, about Tevin Coleman. Like you would trade high, try to sell him.
Yeah.
Would you do the same with Devontae Freeman at this point? 11 carries for 46 yards for Freeman. Caught 4 balls for 18 yards. And Freeman, I love Devontae Freeman. Everybody knows that about me. He's my third-ranked running back coming into the year. I've said that on multiple occasions. But it feels like it's been a disappointing few games.
It has been a disappointing few games. He could be a little bit nicked up, too. I think the most important thing with Freeman is as long as he can continue to give you 100 yards of total offense.
He hasn't done that. Done that since week 3.
What about your best friend forever, you know, the fantasy salad, Frank Sample? He had a tweet, I believe it was last week or so, what Freeman did last year and the pace he was on this year. And it, like we said, Corey pointed that out correctly. The new offensive coordinator, it's been a different environment that these running backs are living in. And at this point, yeah, Freeman has been disappointed.
He has, and it depends on what side of, you know, do you think he's going to turn it around? Do you fall on? Because there are a lot of people that just see the name Devonta Freeman.
100%.
And they would love to have him. You know, you should shop and see what you can get and maybe get somebody who's been, you know, much more productive over the last 5 games.
Since week 4, he has not had over 100 yards of total offense, Corey,
yeah.
And he hasn't had a touchdown since week 4.
The Atlanta Falcons are a disappointment, and he's a big part of it.
I mean, look, who would you rather have rest of the season, Freeman or Jerick McKinnon? For me, I want to have Jerick McKinnon.
McKinnon.
Yeah. Corey?
Freeman or Kamara?
McKinnon.
I'd much rather have Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Much rather have Alvin Kamara.
And you know what? There are people out there who will say if they have Kamara and you give them Freeman, they still feel like in their minds that they love the name, and they might do that.
It's crazy, but I'd much rather have Kamara. I think McKinnon's close. I think I'd rather have McKinnon too. DeMarco Murray. Devontae Freeman. And I can't stress this enough. Since the game on October 1st, this is over a month ago, not a single game of over 100 total yards. Not a single game with a touchdown. This is a dude that scored a touchdown every time he got into the 5. This is what we loved about Devontae Freeman, right? Like
that offense is just off kilter right now. They don't know what they're doing. That offense is off kilter. They're trying to figure out ways to get this offense rolling so they can start winning football games again, but they can't figure it out.
So does Dallas go into Hotlanta and get a W?
You damn right.
On the other side of things, before we go to the other side of things, excuse me, Mohamed Sanu had 3 for 23, but caught the touchdown in the first half. Disappeared after halftime. I saw a tweet or a text from a friend that said, "I believe Mohamed Sanu retired at halftime." he did not, but Sanu captured the touchdown to save their day. On the other side of things, they tried to run the ball a lot with Jonathan Stewart in the first half. He fumbled twice in the first half after bad, long Cam Newton runs, pissed off Cam Newton. They pulled Jonathan Stewart out of the game. Christian McCaffrey got a season high, I believe, it has to be close to it, in carries with 15 carries here, 66 yards on the ground, and an awesome play design for the touchdown.
What have I been saying, though? You can't judge this guy on 4 carries, 3 carries. You got to give guys double-digit touches. And as you see in a lot of games, the second half is where the offensive line can take control of certain games. This kid is still look, the kid's been getting it done just in the pass catching alone. At some point, even Riverboat Ron, who pretty much, I love what Cam did, even though you really shouldn't do that, they forced him to go for it when they should have clearly went for it.
It was a clear situation to go for it. But Cam stomped his feet like a child.
Even Funchess was like, yeah, well, I mean,
who are you,
on.
Devin Funchess, to
they're,
do that?
They're running all. You got Cam. You got
to
go.
All Cam has to do is snap and go like this.
Mm-hmm. Which he did.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, I've been talking a lot about how there haven't been the explosive plays from McCaffrey. And then Matt's been talking about, you know, you need to feed him the ball. Finally, he rips off a 17-yard run yesterday, which is as long as in the season. That's what you want to see from Christian McCaffrey.
Although I did read an article that Christian McCaffrey, like, breaks the least amount of tackles of anybody.
I'm still not. It's tough to judge. I'm not going to judge a running back on 4 carries a week.
Sure.
I just can't do that. I don't think that's fair to any running back in the NFL.
In the first game without Kelvin Benjamin here permanently, Devin Funchess led the team in receptions with 5 for 86 on 7 targets. Led the team in targets as well. Christian McCaffrey tied that with receptions 5 for 28 on 6 targets. Curtis Samuel 3 for 23 on 5 targets. And Russell Shepard was shut out.
Converted tight end, converting running back. That's their wide receivers now.
The bottom line of the passing game is go add Greg Olsen.
You're absolutely right about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We preview Monday Night Football coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Final 5 of the program here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mr. Matt Modica, he's Wall Street. Corey, the Fantasy Executive Parson, he's in the bathroom. And then you have the King, Scott Angle. We are joined by the all-in kid, Jake Sue. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much. How you doing, Greg?
Doing very, very well. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions face off against the Green Bay Packers. And the question that everybody was wondering, Jake, is how many points will the Detroit Lions defense score?
Defense?
It's a question everybody's wondering.
Who's Are we everybody? Talking fantasy-wise, or how many times will they actually score a touchdown?
Fantasy-wise, how many points do they put up tonight?
7.
Well, the kids got him as a top 10 defense.
Who's everybody, by the way?
Just me.
Okay.
Just me.
Green is good.
Seven is okay. I need 6 tonight, Jake.
Oh, you might. Yeah, you can definitely get it. It's potentially a turnover or two and a couple sacks. You might have it in the bag.
That's all. I'm not asking for too much. I'm not asking for double digits. I'm asking for 6. And it's so annoying, Jake, because all I needed was Julio to catch the touchdown. I win. Doug Baldwin doesn't catch the last touchdown for Seattle. I win. What was the other thing? Tyrod Taylor doesn't run in that stupid touchdown at the end of the Jet game. I win. All of these things go into fantasy football. All of these things make it so much fun and so aggravating. That's why I play the game.
Should drop Julio.
I should drop Julio out of spite. I did make a trade offer to somebody today, by the way. I offered Julio Jones. This is actually a very fair offer, in my opinion. Julio Jones and T.Y. Hilton for Antonio Brown and Alex Collins was the offer I made.
I think it's fair.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. I appreciate that. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't an unfair offer.
No.
I wasn't trying to, you know, screw somebody.
No.
I think you might actually be giving up a little too much.
But that's okay. Yeah. I'll overpay for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Antonio.
Yeah, Collins, you look at him, he ran well yesterday, but they kind of got scripted out.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But Monday Night Football for real tonight. It's Brett Hundley back on the field after the bye week, Jake. His first game... It felt like the handcuffs were on him, much like we saw when he came out after halftime. Do we see a better Brett Hundley tonight?
I don't know that we necessarily do, because I'm going to say the same thing I said when he had his first start coming out under him. If he has a clean pocket, you'll see a capable quarterback. If anything starts to get in his face or he starts to scramble, things fall apart real fast for him. And I don't know that a bye week was going to fix that.
You know, it's interesting. So the question is, and I think people have already made the decision. I know I did. I benched Davante Adams ultimately this week for a Larry Fitzgerald. But if you have a Davante Adams, you have Jordy Nelson, you have Randall Cobb, you know, how many points, I guess, do you need to be up or down, I guess, to feel comfortable starting, you know, playing against Jordy Nelson or starting Jordy Nelson? And the same goes for Cobb and Adams. What are we expecting there?
I'm not expecting Jordy Nelson to be a wide receiver two going forward, okay. Adams to be a three, and Cobb to be a four. So probably Nelson would be the only one I think could potentially get double digits. Hopefully he gets a touchdown, but I'm not expecting a whole lot going forward. We already saw the effect that we have here. I know that Adams got a touchdown in that first start where he came in the middle of the game, but we also saw how miserable it was in his first full start. So I have concerns across the board.
Yeah, I started Devontae Parker over Jordy in one of my leagues, but you know, I'm not ready to write off Hundley after one game. We did talk about this, Greg. You know, he's got weaponry. He's only had one start under his belt. He's got a bye week to start working with those guys. There's weaponry there that can help him out. So I don't think it's going to be as awful as it was in that first start. You know, I agree with Jake that Jordy's probably a wide receiver too now, but I'm not going to start writing these guys off yet.
I want to judge Hundley after tonight.
You would not judge Hundley?
No, I want to judge him after tonight.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
What do we think about the Lions, Matt, the other side of it? Can Marvin Jones have a nice game tonight?
I think this should be a good game. Look, they're on the road and stuff, but I think it's, you know, Stafford should have a good game. I want to see how the running backs do. That's what I'm going to be keyed in on. Abdullah versus Riddick.
Yeah, Abdullah versus Riddick is something I'm also very interested in, Scott.
I'm not. It's like Riddick's not a thing anymore. Abdullah's campaigning for goal line carries. I feel like as long as Abdullah's there, Riddick's not going to be relevant.
Vice versa, too, on Green Bay side.
Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery. Totally agree. All right, we'll hear more about this game and all the games for Sunday coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. For Corey and Matt and, of course, the King, Scott Angle, I'm Greg Sussman. Fantastic rest of your day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.